Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, US President Donald Trump came out swinging at a high-octane rally in Michigan yesterday, marking 100 days of his second term, with bold promises, tough talk on immigration and a renewed war on his political enemies. To break it all down for us, I'm joined now by Stephen Erlanger, who's chief diplomatic correspondent in Europe with the New York Times. But first, let's have a quick listen to some of Donald Trump's speech.
Our golden age has only just begun. We are one people, one family, and one glorious nation under God. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. We will fight, 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 and we will win, win, win. And we will make America great again. I love you, Michigan. I love you. Have a good time. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless you.
Yeah, and he ended the rally by dancing to that, one of his favourite tracks from the YMCA. Stephen, what were the main takeaways from last night's speech?
Well, the main takeaway to me was how much he misses campaigning. He really loves campaigning. Being president's kind of a chore for him, but he loves vamping in front of a crowd that loves him. You could hear it. The main takeaways are his feeling that he has stopped illegal immigration at the border. He's done it with a harshness that he thinks has been good, which was very popular. He has constantly, which is a theme for him, he disparages everyone who ever went before him, especially Joe Biden. And Trump, being Trump, will say this is the best rally that's ever happened in the world, and it's the best 100 days that have ever happened since God created the earth. And, you know, he's the best president ever, and he's just getting started, and so on and so on. It was a political speech. It didn't really make news.
Yeah.
Other than Trump having fun.
But it was very well attended. And we know from the polls, despite the overall poor rating when it comes to his approval, his support amongst the people who love him, the MAGA crowd, the Republicans who voted for Donald Trump, is very high. It's like 9 in 10, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's idolatrous. It's cultish. I mean, Trump, you know, has touched a lot of people's souls. Now, they're a minority right now in the country, but I mean, he has presented himself as their champion, particularly the champion of the people who consider themselves left behind, a lot of them being non-college educated white Christian males. And this is his people. Mm-hmm. He loves them and they love him back. And he's very good at this. He's a very good politician, don't forget.
Yeah, and as you say, he loves campaigning and he's very good at those big set piece speeches. He knows what creates a vibe. He, you know, it comes really from his media career, I would imagine. And, you know, and reading the Michael Wolff book at the moment, he loves the set, the stage, you know, all of the performance around all of that. But perhaps more awkward for him was this interview that he did with Terry Moran from ABC News. Now, it went out last night. It was pre-recorded. A surprise, really, that he was doing this with mainstream media, because he got into some heated back and forths over the mass deportations, the war in Ukraine and tariffs. Let's listen to a portion of it.
We still have 145% tariffs on China. Your Treasury Secretary said we basically have an embargo on China.
Look, you're trying to say something's going to happen,
Terry. No, okay, well,
nothing's going to happen.
You know business. Terry, I want to ask you.
Terry,
I
do know business.
Yes, so 145% tariffs on China, and that is basically
that's
an embargo.
Good. They deserve it.
It'll raise prices on everything from electronics to clothing to building houses.
You don't know that. You don't know whether or not China's going to eat it.
That's mathematics.
China probably will eat those tariffs, but at 145, they basically can't do much business with the United States.
Were you surprised, Stephen, that he did that interview in the first place?
Well, a little bit. But, I mean, he wants to celebrate his 100 days, and he feels better able to do it on TV. I mean, he talks to the press quite a lot. I mean, he's not shy. I mean, he's his best announcer and and presenter. The hard part, which Terry Moran found, was getting word in edgeways, because Trump gets onto these routines that he does. I mean, and they're full of misstatements and his obsessions about Joe Biden using an auto pen. And he throws figures around that generally, when they're checked, have very little basis in fact. And he enjoys this.
But you say he talks to the media, but very selective media. Like, it's unusual for him to sit down with an organization like ABC in this term. It hasn't happened up to now.
Yes, that's true. But he sat down with the New York Times. He sat down for long interviews with the Atlantic Monthly, even with the editor who he hates because he got on to Mike Waltz's Signal group. I mean, Trump is his own press agent, and he's been dealing with the press for 50 years, and he's really, really good at it.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another clip from the interview. This might be the testiest moment from it. They sparred over the deported El Salvador native, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, who is a US citizen, and whether or not there's evidence that he was a member of the MS-13 gang.
He had MS-13 on his knuckles tattooed.
Oh, he had some tattoos that are interpreted that way. But let's move on.
Wait a minute. Hey, Terry.
He did not have the letter MS-13.
It says MS-13.
That was photoshopped.
That was photoshopped, Terry. You can't do that. Hey, they're giving you the big break of a lifetime. You know, you're doing the interview. I picked you because, frankly, I never heard of you, but that's okay. But you're not being very nice.
You're not being very nice, but he's particularly sensitive about that issue on immigration, controlling, stopping immigration, as he claims, at the border, because he sees that as his big win, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And it is very popular. I mean, Americans do not like illegal migration. They're perfectly fond of legal migration. There is a feeling that was widespread that helped Trump get elected, that the border was out of control. And a little toughness, which makes some people very nervous because they feel he's not really obeying the law, or he's stretching the law, is also popular because a lot of people, particularly those who voted for him along the border, are fed up with illegal immigration. So this is a big issue for him. And this was also very typical of him. Of course, he's heard of Terry Moran. He just likes to put people at a disadvantage when he's talking to them. This is very Trump-like. And you just let this stuff go over your head and try, as Moran did, to get back to the topic. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy.
Well, look, and it was interesting what he said about the tariffs on China as well, which we heard earlier. China will eat those tariffs. But that row that was developing between Trump and his administration and Jeff Bezos and Amazon yesterday, when it looked briefly like Amazon was going to detail on their products just how much extra the tariffs were going to add to the prices. I mean, does that show us that love-in between the tech bros and Donald Trump might be cracking, coming to an end?
I think that's true a bit, partly because Elon Musk also has to go back to running his businesses to save Tesla and its stock price, right? The problem for Amazon, which has a lot of very important government contracts, is it is very popular with people. Christmas is coming, and Amazon would like people to know why prices have gone up, and they've gone up because of tariffs. But I think the White House it's a little bit unclear whether Amazon meant this for all its products, but certainly at this point, it feels like they've backed down. But there is a real question of what kind of Christmas Americans are going to have when almost everything they buy for Christmas, including plastic Christmas trees, comes from China.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have heard that the freight traffic is very much slowing from China, and that in a couple of weeks we may see empty shelves in some stores because of these tariffs. I mean, the tide might turn at that point.
Well, it's possible. I mean, Trump will keep saying, and he said last night that, you know, there will be some pain, but the Chinese will back down. Basically, I think, and this is what Steve Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, says, I mean, that the tariffs are designed to get people to negotiate a better deal for American producers. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's what happens down the road, okay. I mean, China has obviously, I think everyone understands, the European Union understands, China has taken advantage of global trade. It subsidizes much of what it does, including car production. China doesn't play fair all the time. So Trump hitting China hard, I think, with a 2x4, as someone once said about Zelensky, is an effort to get them to talk. Now, the Chinese also have their pride, and they are not yet ready to talk. But this is the Trump idea. We'll see if it actually works or not.
Now, he's also granted automakers some relief from the punishing tariffs because he is going to curb some duties on foreign cars and parts. What do you think is behind that shift?
Well, serious harm being done to American automakers. I mean, they have lobbied the White House, and there are people in the White House who work with Trump who are listening. Now, he says it's only temporary, but, you know, as everyone knows, if you buy an American car made in America, a lot of the parts come from somewhere else, and it goes back and forth often to Canada or to Mexico 10, 12, 15 times, which ideally under Trump would be tariffed each time. So this is incredibly painful for people. So he wants to encourage them to just build in America, but this is going to take quite some time. If they decide to do it, it may take them longer than his term in office, but this is what he calls a temporary relaxation, but I think it's because of the pain mm-hmm. of important American companies getting through to the White House.
Stephen, thank you for your time. Stephen Erlanger there from the New York Times. And we'll be coming back tangentially to Donald Trump a little bit later on because we'll be asking about the impact that he's having on your pension. But after the break, the latest on the Kim Kardashian grandpa gang trial.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.